This podcast is brought to you by iCoreStudios.co.uk. iCoreStudios is a media-focused social site providing exclusive games, webcomics, and podcasts. Head on over to iCore-studios.co.uk to find out more. Hello. My name's Josh, and this is Today I Despair, a very loosely structured podcast that I'm doing that basically is about anything I want it to be. It might be a fun story that I've experienced, or it might be something I want to complain about. Who knows? And today, I thought, because it's Christmas time at the moment, episode one should actually be about Christmas that I spent very hungover several years ago. I was working in central London, specifically Tottenham Court Road, on a support desk. So if you don't know what that is, essentially it's just IT support. During the day, everyone actually got told that they could finish around 3 p.m, except the support team. Unfortunately, the majority of the company, well, not the majority of the company, a good chunk of the company were the support team. And this happened every single year. It was only ever the support team that weren't allowed to leave early. They had to do their full shift. I completely understand why. However, you know, we had the data from the previous years. Nobody ever phoned in on Christmas Eve. In fact, the whole Christmas week was incredibly dead. But Christmas Eve especially, who's at work? Nobody, because they all get told they can go home early, except the support teams. Now, my main problem with this is the fact that the systems that we support are cloud-based. They can be accessed from anywhere. They can also be supported from anywhere, meaning that, you know, we actually said, hey, we don't mind forwarding the calls to our phones. And then we can go down the pub or something. If we get a phone call, we'll turn on our laptops, go outside and fix it, because it wouldn't have been anything particularly bad. And worst case, the office was a 1 minute walk away from the pub we were planning on going to, and a 2 minute walk away from the bar that, well, I was specifically going to go to. So regardless of anything, everyone was within, you know, a stone's throw of the actual office. So if for whatever reason they had to go back there, they could have very easily. Oh, hey, yeah, you need help. All right, let me get an engineer to give you a call back in about 5 minutes, if that's okay. Great, done. That's all it would have taken. My other issue with it was that we were told, well, if you don't want to be treated like that, don't work in support. And it's like, okay, fully understand that, but fuck you. And this message, you know, sort of cascaded down from upper management and the owners of the company. And my problem with that was that they actually stopped coming into the office around 2 weeks before Christmas and just worked from home. Nobody else was allowed to work from home except them. So not only did they get to work from home, but they also allowed everyone else in the company to go home early on Christmas Eve. But that did mean that I was the most senior person in the office when Christmas Eve came around. So after everyone in sales and finance and everyone else went home, got to about 3:30, and I said to my team, guys, let's just fuck off, you know, forward the phones, I don't give a fuck. Because no, it's ridiculous. It was ridiculous, quite genuinely, and I will fight for my rights where I can. I, you know, if you're going to work somewhere, you want it to be somewhere that you want to work and that actually respects you and your time. There was no valid argument against what I was proposing. And you know what? If it had gone tits up, I would have said, yep, that's on me. Fair enough. Punish me. And nothing did go tits up, because we didn't get a single fucking ticket or a single fucking call come in the 3 hours between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. when the shift actually ended. What a surprise. It's exactly what I said would happen. Either way, I go to this bar that's just down the road, about a 2 minute walk away, where I was really good friends with one of the barmaids there. And somehow I got I know exactly how it happened, but I got very drunk very early. And the last thing I actually remember was actually around 8 p.m. And it's because I was drinking absinthe. I hadn't had it before. It's only about 21 or 22, and I'd never had it before, and decided that was the day I was going to try it. Don't get me wrong, it was only, I think it was 67%. I didn't factor in the fact, you know, just how much stronger it is than like vodka. But thinking about it, I had at least 10 shots of it, plus a load of cocktails and whatever else and other shots of, you know, B-52s or whatever else, you know. I was a state. I was an absolute state. And I, last thing I remember was out about 8 p.m. And the next thing I remember is waking up in a very, very dark place. Where am I? I'm sat. I move a little bit. I wave my arms. A light comes on. Ah, I'm in my office toilets. How did I get in my office toilets? I then take a moment to sort of, you know, get my wits about me because I've been passed out for however long. I look left and right. The walls are caked in sick. I've made quite a mess here. Oh dear. And I look down. My trousers are around my ankles. And I have thrown up inside my trousers and my pants. Ah. Oh dear, I thought, shit, how the fuck am I going to get home? I live 20 miles away from central London in Kent. How the fuck am I going to solve this problem? Because I was still on the verge of being paralytic at this point. I was conscious, but I was still like, oh God. Oh, yeah, I was not in a good way. Eventually, I managed to stand up and I was like, I'm going to go into the next cubicle over because it'll be clean. It'll be a better environment for me to figure out what the fuck I'm going to do. So with my trousers around my ankles, I just shuffle very, very slowly. You know, one foot just sliding on the floor, then the other foot going back and forth. And I open the other door and the other cubicle is in the exact same state, which meant that I must have fucked that up, gone, oh dear, gone into the clean one to the left and gone. And then that's where I kind of, you know, passed the fuck out. There was a third cubicle, which I made my way over to. And as I opened the door, I was like, oh, please, God, no. Please tell me I didn't fuck up three cubicles. I didn't. It was all good. Obviously, it was all good. Come on now. Come on. Have a little more faith. All right. I should have had more faith. But equally, considering I fucked up two and ruined my trousers, I had every right to think, yeah, I could have fucked up the third one. Of course, I could have fucked up the third one. But I didn't. I fucked up a lot of other things, but we'll get to that. I go into the third cubicle. It's nice and clean. I scoop out all of the, you know, the mess in my trousers and make a nappy out of the remnants of my underwear and toilet roll. And I really wrap this shit up, okay? So I've got a nice absorbent layer, pull my trousers back up and I'm like, oh good God, it feels like how you'd think it'd feel. It was horrible. It was cold. It was wet. It was just bad. It was unpleasant. And I kind of, you know, I had a drink of water from, you know, it was a water machine out in the lobby. I, you know, grabbed a little cup of water and I was like, okay, I feel a little bit better now. Okay. Now I'm holding my shoes at this point as well. I was in the cubicle with my shoes off, so my socks were also soaked in. I didn't even know what they were soaked in. I don't want to know what they were soaked in, but they were soaked in something. So I pick up my shoes and I walk out and I go into the lift and I go down one floor because, you know, it was on the first floor. So I go down into the main concierge area and the guy down there starts just screaming at me. He is not happy. Apparently, I said I'd be 5 minutes, I just need to use the toilet. When in actuality, I was in there for 5 hours. I looked at the time and it was 3:30, which meant that I woke up around 3, which meant that between 8 and 10 p.m., I don't have any recollection of. And then between 10 and 3, obviously I was in the building. All the while this guy's screaming at me, I'm in such a state, I was just like, oh, I don't care. I just phased him out and I went and sat on the sofa in the waiting area and tried to order an Uber. I said, and then, you know, he got right in my face and said, I'm just trying to order, you know, I was trying to say, I'm trying to order an Uber. Fuck, that actually is hard to say. I'm just trying to order an Uber. He calmed down a little bit and went and just stood by the desk and stared me out. And I said, look, mate, it's going to be 1 minute. Literally says 1 minute right here. So I'll leave. So I got up, picked up my shoes, and I walked with my feet slapping against the tile floor, you know, my wet socks, you know, not that noise, obviously. That was more of a, I don't know, like fingering jelly. Anyway, so I get outside and I think it must have been -4 degrees Celsius, obviously. And I'm stood there cold and wet and shoeless. A few minutes pass and I think to myself, wow, that's been a long minute. How drunk am I? Look at my phone. Oh, there's 8 minutes remaining. That's not right. No, it turns out that actually it said 11 minutes and I had misread it because I was so wasted. I knew you could have double vision, but I didn't know you could have, what, negative double vision? where it combines two things into one thing? It's the only way I can explain that. So I was stood there and the guy wouldn't let me back in. I didn't try, but obviously he wouldn't have let me back in. You know, the door was locked and I was actually in quite a bit of pain because it was so cold. Finally, the Uber gets there and I say to him, look, mate, I've had a rough night. I'd like to go to sleep. If you could just wake me up when we get there, I'd really appreciate it. And he was super accommodating. He said, yeah, of course, mate. Don't worry about it. I completely understand. Merry Christmas. I said, oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. And I do just that. I sit down, my pants squelch under me, and good Lord, did it feel bad. And then I fell asleep. I woke up a little while later, well, about 40, 45 minutes later, to a guy saying, excuse me, sir, can you, yeah, you're home now. I said, oh, thank you so much. Oh, that's really kind of you. I got out of his car and I stumbled over to my flat, let myself in, saw my cats and passed the fuck out. I woke up maybe 5 hours later to a phone call. It's my younger brother phoning me because every single Christmas Eve, because it's Christmas Eve now, the final day of work was the 23rd. I had passed out until Christmas Eve, woken up, you know, in my own sick on Christmas Eve, made my way home, fell asleep again. Woke up Christmas Eve, right? And he says to me, hey, the burn's happening. Now, for clarification, the burn is a secret bonfire that me, him, and our mutual friend have every year. It just ended up being tradition. Can't remember how it happened. One year we just did it, and we've been doing it every year for 5-6 years, maybe longer. It's been a while, actually. I'm surprised it's been going to get caught one day. Not that it's... We're not doing it illegally, obviously. It's, I think, probably about 10, 11 a.m. at this point. The burn doesn't happen until, you know, 12 hours after that. You know, it's a nighttime thing. It's actually more like 11, between, you know, 11 and midnight. And he says, oh, you know, are you in? We got to go to the burn. And I was like, the burn isn't going to be for another fucking, you know, 12 hours. What are you on about? He's like, oh, yeah, you know, but, you know, just prep work. And then the doorbell rings. I'm like, hang on a minute. Open the door. There he is with our mate. And he's like, oh, come on. And he could see how rough I was. Obviously, I'd just woken up. I was still in these horrible clothes. And he's like, what happened to you? And I was like, I can't get into this right now. And I did tell him that I was obviously very, very hungover. First hangover of my life, I'll add. And he and our friend start talking about alcohol, which they knew was going to make me feel sick because I told them don't. Just, you know, just mentioning it made me want to throw up big time. And that was what they did throughout the entire day. And I kept having to throw up. Not great. Unfortunately, as well, I was actually hungover for the rest of that day, for all of Christmas Day and all of Boxing Day, which, yeah, so I was hungover for about 3 days. I didn't get to eat Christmas dinner. I didn't get to eat any of the leftovers the following day because I just felt so rough. It was horrible. It was genuinely very, very horrible. And I didn't know what the fuck had happened, really. You know, I knew some of it, but I had gaps. So I actually texted the barmaid that I was friends with that worked at, you know, the bar, that, you know, she's the one serving me all of these drinks and, you know, making sure that I was definitely, definitely too wasted to ever function ever again. And she phoned me and she explained it all to me. And I said, oh, well, that's a bit bizarre, actually. And essentially what she said to me was that it got to, yeah, about 8:30. And she said, yeah, you couldn't function. I needed you out. And so I took you upstairs to, you know, the street level because it was an underground bar. She took me to street level, left me with the bouncer and said, look after him. I'm just going to go get him some water. She came back up with water and I wasn't there. And so she asked the bouncer, hey, where'd my friend go? Apparently, I looked around very suspiciously and then sprinted off into the night. And when I say sprinted, the way she said he described it was that it was like the Flash. Like I was leant forward. I was gunning for it. You know, I just went. And so I asked her, what direction did I actually go? And it turns out it was the complete opposite direction to my office, which means that between 8:30 and 10, I have no idea where I was. So I said, thank you for at least letting me know. And I told her what had happened and she was sufficiently grossed out. And I said, yeah, that's fair enough. I then, you know, spend the rest of the Christmas period feeling sorry for myself a little bit because I didn't get to have Christmas dinner, really. But for the most part, it was all right, you know, once I'd recovered. Then the new year came and I went back to work. And the first day I go in and the CEO calls me into the meeting room, sits me down, says, Josh, I need to talk to you. And it's very serious. And I knew that he had footage because there were cameras everywhere. And so I said to him, oh, well, what about? I played dumb, because that's what you do. Because I was that wasted that I absolutely, I mean, I did forget most of it, which meant that obviously I, you know, it was a suitable tactic, you know? And he sits me down with a laptop and he says, I need to show you something, Josh. Sit down. And yeah, around 9:45 when I arrived at the office. And you know, you can tell in the video that I'm gesturing quite erratically to the concierge desk, and he lets me upstairs. And I must have just said, I need the toilet. That must have been all it was. And you see me go into the lift, but I don't get off on the first floor. You know, my office was on the first floor. I go up to the fourth floor, which was at the top. And then I just produce this bottle of spirits. I don't know what it was, peach schnapps, maybe it was vodka. I have no idea, okay? I don't remember buying it, but that's clearly one of the things I did between 8:30 and 9:45. And I basically walk over to one of these potted plants, these very large potted plants. Now, the pots are about maybe up to my waist, so three and a half feet tall. And, you know, these are big palm tree type things. You know, obviously relatively short and, you know, they're just for the lobby. Small enough to be picked up, basically, is what I'm getting at. And basically spoke to this plant for a while, from the looks of it. Drank with the plant, so I would take a swig and I would give it a swig. Kind of like in The Simpsons where Homer's like, oh, one for you, one for me, because cars are powered by beer. Pretty much like that. And after a while, I look over at this other plant. Exact same kind, exact same pot. And I look back at this plant, and it looks like I'm still talking to it, as if to say, oh, you want to go over there? Oh, I can. And so I lift it out of its pot and drag it across the floor to the other pot and then pull that one out and basically repot the original one there. And then the secondary one I repot in the original pot. There was mud everywhere. And that I mean, that's not an understatement. It was fucking everywhere. I don't know why I did that. I genuinely have no idea why I did that. And as I left, I actually slipped on the dirt and got back into the lift. And spent the next maybe 10, 15 minutes just riding the lift up and down every single fucking floor until I go down to the first floor and then try tirelessly and fruitlessly to get into my office. Now, there was a big metal shutter inside behind the main doors. If I'd opened those main doors and not opened that shutter, then the alarm would have gone off. And had the alarm gone off and me be in that state, I would have been fucked because they would have escorted me out of the building, and instead of getting to pass out in the toilets in a safe space, I would have passed out in the street in -4 degrees. Probably would have been pretty bad. And it gets a little bit worse because, you know, I'm stabbing at this door with my key. I can't figure it out. And clearly, I did have the shutter key as well. Clearly, I was using the shutter key in the double doors rather than the double door key. So that's a good thing. That is a good thing. And then after that for a bit, I run into the toilet, and that was it. That's the whole night. And obviously, you know, he showed me coming downstairs and looking a right fucking state, and him trying to usher me out. And yeah, you know, it was rough. It was rough. In hindsight, it was funny, but also no. You know, I needed that job. I thought I was about to lose it. So I sit there and I'm like, ah, I can't say I remember this. And he looked at me. He looked me dead in the eyes, and he had no expression. He said, Josh, I'm not being funny, mate, but it's not really acceptable, is it? I'm thinking to myself, shit, I'm fucked. I'm losing my job. And he continues looking at me. Josh, I'm going to be quite honest with you here. If you ever, and I mean if you ever, do something that fun again, you've got to invite everyone. And then he fucking smiled, got up and walked out of the room. Just left me there. And I was like, huh. Was he swinging his dick around? Was he just trying to say, you know, was he passing it off as a joke and saying, hey, yeah, you're in fucking trouble and I've got your number kind of thing? Or was he genuinely being like, I don't care because no one got hurt and it was funny? Either way, I got away with it. That's how I see it. And I, you know, I stayed there for another year and a half or so before leaving because they were going corporate as fuck and I'm not into that. Now, the final part of this is quite amusing, and that is that the puke on the walls, it was still there. You know, the cleaner hadn't been in over the Christmas period, apparently. And so, you know, around the office, you know, that was all anyone was talking about. Oh, there's so much puke in there. What happened? I wasn't going to tell a fucking soul that it was me. And so I went in there, probably around lunchtime, and it had been cleaned. But not very well. You could see smear marks. You could see it in the grout. And that's how it stayed for my final year and a half at the company, to the point where when I get in at sort of 7:30 in the morning because trains are cheaper, and it was just, you know, I could go to the toilet before work, and it was just an easier journey. Every morning when I went to the toilet, I'd see it and I was just reminded, oh, fuck's sake. You know, it's just one of them ones where it's just constantly there in the back of your mind, like, oh, this happened, mate. Remember that happened? And I will always remember it happened because it was such an uncomfortable experience and it fucked my Christmas right up. And that's it. And that's the whole story, as far as I can ever remember. So that's episode one. If you enjoyed it, let me know. And they'll, I mean, I'll be very, very honest. This is only scratching the surface on some really, really quite rough stories. And they're not all about drinking. I don't know, maybe it's just me doing something fucking stupid. But you'll find out, I guess. That's the main thing here. Maybe I'll just spend the rest of the series just complaining about things. Have a good one, and I'll catch you later.